Hey y'all, this podcast is meant for mature audiences only and contains strong adult language. So if you are under 18, be out. We discuss our experiences, thoughts, and tips on ethical non-monogamy from the perspective of a Black married couple. We smart, but we not experts. So this show is for entertainment purposes only. So whether you're working out, driving, or listening to us on your home sound system, enjoy the show.
What's up, y'all? Thanks for tuning in to the Black and Kinky Lifestyle Podcast. This is The Bomber, and for those of you who don't know, in honor of Black History Month, aka the month of February, we take the time to feature Black sex-positive content creators to tell their story and a little bit about what they do. We're so excited this year because I think we got a pretty diverse group of content creators that are doing some great work around the country. The benefit of this series is that you will get several bonus episodes during the month rather than the typical single month episode. And hopefully we'll enlighten you to some folks that you weren't aware of, because that's what we do at BNK. We make connections and collaborations. So I hope you enjoy this series, Black and Sex 2023. BDSM, bondage, dominance, submission, sadism, masochism, the core pillars of kinky fun. Beyond that, there's a whole language to describe the consensual power exchange practices that take place under the BDSM umbrella. And our guests today are masters in this form of play and have created a space here in the DC metro area for BIPOC individuals and others to participate. But before we get to that, let's talk history. Dominance, submission, and traditional power exchange has played a major role in African history, and throughout the centuries, our ancestors have incorporated DS into not only their sexual practices, but into their spiritual and ritualistic practices as well. And according to DarkConnections.com, a central feature of one West African tribe's religious beliefs was the worship of a special spirit who protected their village and kept their women in a state of submission. Whenever women acted disobedient, the husbands would mimic the deity by donning makeup, masks, and elaborate headpieces, and then driving their women out of their homes for communal flogging. Now, the line between abuse and BDSM experience depends on the level of consent involved in this practice. I have no idea what the level of consent was in that practice, but that was all I could find on African BDSM practices, so kudos to Dark Connections. So what were early BDSM practices in the U.S. within the African-American community? Well, according to DarkConnections.com, there's not much information available regarding the earliest Black BDSM organizations due to secrecy and lack of documentation, but according to Ariana Cruz, author of Color of Kink, Black representation in kink performance may have begun as early as the 1930s. Although representations of Black folks in positions of power in a kink scene may not have been really common, or certainly not publicly, due to the taboo of Black empowerment at the time. But BDSM Black supremacy groups, one of them called Obey, did not tolerate Black submissives or white dominance, and was formed as early as the late 1960s. There was also believed to be another group of Black female dominance in Chicago during that same time. Now, according to Marla Stewart, a professional sexologist, by the 1970s, Black women and gay men were the primary people who were represented in kink in the United States. By the 1990s, Black leather and BDSM groups expanded, including one of the most prolific male BDSM groups, Onyx, formed by Mufasa Ali, and even expanded into Onyx Pearls for women. There's a lot of overlap between the leather community and the BDSM community. That's another story for another day. Now, the internet has actually had more of an impact on Black BDSM history than any other medium. There's so much information out there for people to consume and access, including POCL, People of Color, Kink and Leather Experiences, which was created as a resource for BIPOC folks in the BDSM space. You can find Black BDSM groups on many platforms, including SLS and FetLife, the latter of which you will find groups and events curated by our guests today.
All right, y'all. I am super excited today because we got Black and Kinky DC in the building, but they're not us and we are not them. We are the podcasters, but they are truly Black and Kinky and they throw events in DC. Black and Kinky in DC is the largest kink lifestyle network serving the interest of BIPOCs in the area of greater Washington, D.C. Their aim is to provide a safe space for exploration, education, and fellowship. They offer BDSM play parties, an active FetLife discussion group that serve as opportunities for people to interact with those who are both Black and Kinky in the local region and beyond. I am so honored because we have like almost the whole crew. We got On Her, Goddex Symphony, Jax, Rowdy, and Sir Pull in the building. These are all members of the Black and Kinky DC event promoters. They are awesome. I've had the pleasure of being at their events. And if you heard our latest Patreon post, you would have heard a play-by-play of our experience. But we were also recently featured on the Wonderlust podcast, where we also gave a play-by-play of our experience. But here we have the artists of this event. Can we just go around the room first and just have you guys say who you are and a little bit about what makes you special in this community?
I love that intro you gave for us. We got to have you introduce us more often. This is Rowdy. I'm a sensual poly daddy dom in the scene. My favorite part of kink is education in kink. And I love learning new things and meeting new people and just growing in my experience.
Can you tell me what a daddy dom is?
There are a lot of different identifiers on there's a lot of people out there calling themselves doms who don't know the first thing about being a dom, and they should take that down off their FetLife profile. But I can operate in a dominant sort of role. But the truth is, I'm just too much of a sensual guy to lean into some of like the stern components of being a true dom. And so I can do the daddy thing and I can do the stern thing. And I'm not limited to either one.
All right. Thanks, Rowdy.
So I'm Sir Pull, short for Sufficient Limits. I'm a polyamorous, sensual, sadist, daddy, protector, educator, mentor. I'm here to enjoy myself in this thing that we do and help others grow and do bigger and better things. One of the things that I enjoy most, more than anything, is actually seeing people enter the lifestyle and where they are a month from now, 3 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now, and how that growth happens.
And I want to actually hear from Goddex Symphony. I love your name. I'm going to say it even when I'm not like calling on you. I love the sound of it. It just rolls off the tongue.
Why, thank you. I like to hear it said. A little bit about me. Again, my name is Goddex Symphony. I am a Black, bi, polysexual, polyamorous, leather, femme, cat, auntie, and all-around badass. I identify as a top-leaning and dominant-leaning switch. Yeah, I've been doing stuff in the community in real time and out meeting people, talking to people, beating people, getting beat by people. about 11 years now, 11 years. So this is my jam. I love this. I love everything about it and what makes me special in it, because bitch, I'm me.
I love it. Goddex Symphony. Can you explain your name a little bit? Like where'd that come from?
So Goddex Symphony just basically is the idea of, I've been called names like goddess. I'm not a huge fan of mistress. That works for other people, but it doesn't work for me. I've been called goddess by folks before. I've been called the deity by folks before. That's their prerogative. I didn't necessarily choose the title, and it is my leather title for myself, but I had to put my own personal spin on it. So what often happens within our communities is that we'll use the letter X to denote a lack of or a space outside of binaries of woman and man. Dex is just very clearly a statement that I am a goddex, that I am divine, that I am a deity, but I am also outside of the expectations and restrictions of the binaries of gender.
Oh, that's dope.
Hello. I'm happy to be on the podcast. My name is On Her. I go as a impact top. I love just the art of just sensuality and using different ways where we can accent our physical senses. And I think for me, in terms of play scenes, I really go back and forth between light and heavy impacts to really give a great experience in terms of overall sensations. So I've been in the lifestyle for a number of years now. And for me, the biggest thing that I receive from just this experience is connecting with other people. I think that this space is very unique and that you can operate however best fits you or makes you feel comfortable to have the space where you're not feeling judged and you can just operate in your true self. I think it's a great opportunity that we want to continue to have in this space, especially for people of color, when we're not necessarily the dominant demographic, to provide those spaces where we can truly be ourselves. It's something I'm very passionate about. And I feel like we have a great team here that I've been able to connect with over the years and looking forward to continuing our efforts in the lifestyle.
The sensation part of BDSM is probably the one I think that folks may think of less when it comes to BDSM. I think people are used to thinking about flogging and paddling and whipping and tying up and that kind of thing. But the sensation play was something that was new for me to associate with BDSM. So I'm just wondering if you could talk a little bit about what playing with different sensations can look like, what kind of tools are available that may be different from your traditional floggers and paddles and that kind of thing.
We all have five senses, and sensation play is really just using different components to incorporate those senses in play. For me as an impact top, I typically focus on touch. And yes, you do have the traditional items of floggers and paddles and canes and things like that. And those are great. But I think for me, I like to incorporate other things, especially with using hands. Right. So, you know, using massage techniques where you can kind of rub on someone, using your fingertips to lightly touch or graze someone in different areas of their body, using their fingernails to scratch, right? You have different sensations of touch where you have something that's very soft or smooth or rough or hard. And you also have temperature play where you have something that's very hot, something that's very cold, right? Another type of kink that people like to incorporate is fire play, right? Or wax, having that sense of heat and temperature, so that it just stimulates the senses in your body. And I think for me to incorporate multiple sensations going from hot to cold or from smooth to hard, or things that you like to incorporate, some of those light things that you can use when it comes to like feathers I use brushes are really nice to use for something that's very soft. Then you can go back to hard where you use something that's metal or wood or something like that. So a lot of different things you can incorporate. I think you should be creative and kind of figure out what works for you and what works for your partner. But yeah, any type of device that you can use to create different types of sensations, I think would be great to incorporate in this type of play.
This is Rowdy. You know, some of the things that people associate with BDSM, you know, like the whips and floggers and handcuffs and stuff, those can be a barrier to entry for folks, but there's a lot of stuff out there that is regular household stuff that is easily converted into kinky purposes. And those things have a name. They're called pervertibles, like a spatula or...
Ooh.
Rowdy or office supplies. Don't forget the office supplies.
Office supplies. The house goods section at Target is a wonder. Give me that meat tenderizer.
Wait, hold on. I want to get in a little deep in this because I feel like a lot of people feel like they have to go on Amazon and spend like $500 on new tools and equipment. So
oh, no.
What?
This is Gothic Symphony. Not at all. There is a running joke within the BDSM community. Home Depot is called Dom Depot. It's one of the places that a lot of us go to actually pick up supplies and things, different types of rods, even to make their own equipment, such as floggers and things, floggers, paddles, and things of that nature. So engaging in kink does not have to be pricey. I would personally be very careful of buying any implements off of Amazon just to start, because a lot of them are flimsy, not well made. They can actually cause problems, irritation, scratching to the body. So that I just would not recommend off the top of my head, unless you know for sure that the manufacturer or the maker of the toy itself is actually reputable. But again, like, you can go just about anywhere if you have enough imagination and make toys and things to use within scenes. The only limit to all of this is your own creativity.
Hi, I'm Jax. Thank you for having me and us. I am in this space. I'm a top leaning switch, very much a sensualist. I am also a trained conscious erotic touch practitioner and sexologist and sex coach. So a lot of my interest in this comes from me being an overall sex nerd, sensation nerd, touch nerd. And so I have been in this space as a nerd for about, I would say, 6 or 7 years, and in practice, probably more 4-ish years. I came on to the team about last summer. Typically, if you come to Black and Kinky, I am at the door giving tours and introducing new people to the space, trying to help the people feel welcome and warm and give them really a baseline of understanding of what they can expect in this space and how we navigate consent and fun and enjoyment in our space.
Let us talk about what Black and Kinky DC is all about.
We are a group that is looking to feed into our community by providing safe spaces and a safe environment for the BIPOC community to be able to exercise themselves in a safe space where we're not the oddballs out. We're not the flavor of the week, if you will, but an actual space that we're all in tune and where you're coming in and you're seeing people of color that are out here doing what they do and doing it well. And then growing from that, I think at the last event, we had a ton of newbies that came in and those newbies asked a ton of questions, experienced a lot of things. And it's a segue for them to learn some things from people who know what they're doing versus trying to do this crazy stuff that we do at home sometimes.
You wanted a space where folks didn't have to feel like they were the flavor of the week. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So perfect example, me coming into the scene, 12 years ago, a lot of the spaces, I was that salt, the sprinkle of pepper in the room. When we went to events, you would literally be the oddball out and sometimes feeling some sort of way because being in this community, especially a decade or so or more back, everything was very, not cliquish, but very compartmentalized, meaning that you just didn't let people in if you didn't know who they were. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden you have a new person coming on board and coming to events and they're like, okay, who are you? Or what are you doing here? And then kind of as people got more comfortable with me and me asking questions and showing up regularly, I blossomed into who I am today. But then when I found a group of kinky Black folks, that just completely blew my mind and took it to a completely different level. Mm-hmm. Where now I wasn't worried about, is someone going to be able to talk to me? Is someone going to shun me? Is someone just going to turn their back on me? Because I'm in this space.
Being someone who is non-binary but was assigned female at birth is still very femme presenting. Going into these spaces as a Black quote unquote woman or what looks like a Black woman, there is an intense amount of fetishization that goes into these spaces. So for a lot of us, it's not just being the only Black person that's in the room, but it's a lot of, oh my God, Black goddess, beautifulness, my divine Amazonian warrior. Look, I'm 5'4", don't call me Amazon. It's a lot of that, which makes it's very dehumanizing to be in these spaces oftentimes when you're treated like the flavor of the week, like Paul said, you're just treated like what we call sometimes a kink or a fetish dispenser, where it's just, I'm there to only serve your kinks and your fetishes. I get absolutely nothing out of it. And the only way that I fit into your kink and fetish is due to my race and ethnicity. That can be extremely dehumanizing. It's disrespectful. And it's something that you really don't have to deal with as much when you're in spaces that focus on and are made for Black and brown people.
I will say that the event that we attended was well attended. There were just a lot of folks of color in there. I mean, there were a few sprinkles of white, which I think are different. It's a different experience for a lot of people, that sort of reversal.
I enjoy most about Black and Kinky. And what our team will tell you is that as really, if you live in DC and you're curious about kink and you are Black or brown, we really get this unique opportunity to be like your first stop. It's a part of what we create is that it's this space that's open for newbies. It's a space that's open for the experience. And for a lot of people, we get to be their first taste of what it is that we do.
Okay. Who had the name first? What did you guys start?
So it's a good question. The Fet Life Group actually started in 2010. And so we, over the course of the last few years, we've incorporated into something a little bit bigger. We were doing things in person and doing munches and events. But yeah, we started out as a Fet group. Fet Life,
oh, a Fet group.
Discussion
Fet
group.
Okay.
I think over the years, our resident historian, who's not here with us now, I think they've been trying to infuse the Crucible, which is the dungeon that we utilize for a Black, quote unquote, a Black night, a POC night for a long time. And so I think they did have a different name many, many moons ago, and it's overturned with different leadership. I think they've had this name at least since I've been around for the last 5 years at the in-person events. But I think they've had it for a little while, but we can share.
We appreciate that.
What are munches? Am I the only one who doesn't know what that is? Belle, do you know what munches are?
No.
Okay, good. All right. I don't feel
munches are basically just vanilla spaces. And by vanilla, we mean spaces that are not specifically set up for BDSM and alternative lifestyles, for folks to meet up in a low pressure way. They're typically, like 99% of the time, is no aspect of what we call play or scening involved. It's just meeting up, being able to talk to folks within the communities and groups, put names to faces and faces to names, and just have some good conversations to meet people. It isn't always about setting up something in the future for you to get flogged, but it's really just about making connections and getting to know the people within your area, within your community that actually and play around and do this stuff.
There's a lot of misconceptions in the vanilla space that, you know, just because kinky people get together that there's going to be kinky shit happening. Kinky people want to get together and just have a meal, a drink, and socialize just like anybody else. And the term for that, kinky people acting in a non-kink space, is a munch.
When did you start throwing events? When did that start?
Well, this is on her. And it's funny because that event that Rowdy was talking about, was that the first time I actually met Rowdy and also Symphony. So the first time I met both of them at that first initial Black and Kinky munch a few years back. So essentially, one of our other counterparts who's still participating, not necessarily as a leader, but still as an active group, Tactics. Tactics was approached with having a Black and Kinky night at our local dungeon, the Crucible, and had reached out to Rowdy and I to help coordinate some of these events. We've been active and doing events and things like that in the past. And so we started doing in-person events. This is post-pandemic in 2021. So I would say summer of 2021, we started doing our first in-person events at the Crucible, and kind of been rocking ever since.
So that's when the events at the Crucible started. But after that first munch where Onher Symphony and I met, there continued to be monthly and then bi-monthly munches for a long time before the pandemic. We started having events on Thursdays, which is a weeknight. The event would end at 11, and which isn't ideal, especially if people don't have to work on Friday. And we just continue to grow in popularity every month to the point where Crucible invited us to start doing Fridays in 2023. And so that Friday event that you went to in January, that was our first Friday event. And so we look forward to those moving forward.
As a function of engaging in the swinger lifestyle, we had been exposed to BDSM that way. And so there are some pretty significant differences between the lifestyle, the BDSM lifestyle, I think, and the swinger lifestyle. One of them is, I think, the body positivity aspect of it. I realized that in the lifestyle, there's very much a hierarchy. Even if you're at a party where folks will attend that party and you'll welcome all different body shapes, there is a hierarchy that will favor those who are sort of more consistent with our cultural beliefs around what beauty is, right? Fit bodies and tall men and that kind of thing. And regardless of how welcoming those parties are to folks of different body types, those folks will rise to the top. That is not something I feel in BDSM spaces, and certainly not what I felt at your kink event in January. So I was wondering if you could say a little bit about the body positivity part of it for those who don't understand that.
It's pretty simple. Like, we're here to beat everybody's ass. I don't think anybody's looking at things in that aspect of everybody's going to have their preferences. Don't get me wrong, but there's a lane for everybody. That's something that I always stress in this thing that we do. No matter how crazy it is that you, the thing that you want to try, or the darkest, deepest fantasy that you think you have, and like, oh my God, I must be nuts for thinking this. There's going to be someone in this lifestyle that will match your energy. There's going to be someone who's willing to try something with you or help you learn something. And that is one of the best things about this community that I love, is that if I don't have the proper skill set, I could go to someone else and be like, hey, I don't know how to use needles. Can you teach me how to use needles? Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know how to do rope. Can you teach me how to do rope? You know, and kind of mastering those skill sets as you move along, you know?
Within the community, just like anywhere, period, there are going to be folks who have their own specific ideas of what the ideal body type is. And we come across that, unfortunately, that thinking in a lot of different spaces. It happens a lot within the rope community. People not wanting to tie bigger bodies, the fetishization of like height and all of that. But as Poole said, there's always somebody for somebody. And one of the things that I typically find, especially within, like I said, Black and kinky DC events and parties, is that that's not the focus. I mean, yeah, we like to look at people. We like to look at pretty people. We like to look at attractive people, but the focus is not on just everybody looking at traditionally attractive people, but honestly, what's attracted to you. And one of the big things for us is the fact that since this is BDSM, there does not necessarily need to be a sexual attraction in order to engage in what we're doing. Sensual attraction is a thing. Aesthetic attraction is a thing. So just because you're engaging with someone, it does not mean that you want to have sex with them. It does not mean that that has to be a component of your interaction with them, which actually helps to lower some of that negativity around specific bodies in these spaces. It's not completely gone, but it is lowered a bit.
Yeah, I think that was the thing that stood out for us, right? So, you know, coming from a swinger space, like, you're there to fuck, right? And so you're looking for people to fuck. And there was that energy was not at the event. It was really about the experiences, either participating in the experiences and the BDSM experiences, or observing the BDSM experiences. But while there were sexy people and it's still a sexy atmosphere, it's clear that the main goal isn't sex. So it does change the dynamic of what is happening, how people are interacting, how people are engaging, and people's ability to be vulnerable, because there's not this weight on, am I going to be attractive enough to engage in this space? Which is a nice freedom to have.
One of the things that I also try to get people to keep in mind is that a lot of what we do is a temporary power exchange in these spaces, right? Top to bottom is saying, hey, would you provide this experience for me for this amount of time? And in that time frame, I'm going to play this bottom role or this submissive role while you're playing this top dominant role. And then once that scene is over, it's a wrap, right? But the other thing about it too is that it's a huge energy exchange. When we say there's a power exchange involved, there's also energy exchange. You've ever walked into a room and you could just feel someone's energy drawing you closer?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
That we get that a lot, or at least I personally do within this thing that we do, where the energy is completely different. I think walking into our events, you're going to feel a different type of vibe, a different type of energy there, which is essential to creating that experience that you're looking for.
I just add to that, that's one of the beauties of kink and BDSM, is that not only is it not just about sexual attraction or physical attraction, but we attract and accept people who that's not even a part of what they're coming for at all. We have demisexuals who come to our event. We have asexuals who come to our event who literally aren't thinking of the sexual aspect of it at all. They are actually coming for that kink fix. And we also have the people who are just there to voyeur. They're getting fed in this way that is much more expansive. Sexual attraction is beautiful and great, but being able to feel that energy, being able to be fed in this way that kind of transcends sexuality, is really beautiful as well. It just allows it to be more accepting, more expansive, and more welcoming to a wide variety of people.
And I want to make sure our listeners are not under the impression that there weren't smashable people there. There were definitely some smashable people. I'm not saying I flirted with anybody. I'm just saying that if somebody had offered the opportunity to smash, I probably wouldn't have said no. There were definitely some sexy people up in there.
There were some smashing going on too.
Yes.
Definitely. Definitely. All those playrooms were locked at some point. They were closed and closed for business. I actually have somewhat of a confession to make, because before going to your event, I saw your Instagram post, and the Instagram post basically went something like this. It was like, is there a dress code? No, there's not a dress code. Okay. Is there are any groups excluded? There was no groups excluded, including single men. Now, I got to tell you, in the lifestyle, that is a huge red flag. I mean, unless it is a hot wife event, you want to make sure that the cap on single men is there, because unfortunately, you can have a situation where you have a bunch of dudes at the party, right? So I see that Instagram post. I tell my wife the bell. I'm like, all right, listen, there might be a lot of penises in here. So let's temper our expectations. We might have to go in and go out. I don't know. I don't know how safe the environment is going to be. And we go in there and it's not like that. And I'm like, how do they do this? How do they stop this from becoming a sausage fest? So what's the magic sauce? How y'all doing this?
This is Rowdy, and I'm not claiming there's any type of magic, but I definitely wanted to highlight the fact that we begin every event with an educational component where we're trying to teach people, especially men, what consent culture is like, what the rules are to this space, what the etiquette is, how to operate and navigate in these spaces so that they don't come off creepy and offensive. That's a big draw. We want to educate people on how to operate in these spaces in a way that's productive and safe.
This is on her. No, we have a lot of protocols in place to make sure it's safe for everybody. And so when you go inside the dungeon, you know, we do background checks, right? So everyone who's a member, they do background checks on the membership. When you go in there, there's monitors, there's dungeon monitors who go around, make sure everyone is practicing safe, you know, safety when it comes to different play. Make sure there's consent. You know, if there's any issues, you know, let someone know right away and we'll address it, right? And we may need to kick someone out or ban them from the crucible if they don't follow the right protocols. So there's a lot of safety involved in making sure these events are safe for everybody. So I think for us, making sure that when we're inviting everybody, everyone's invited until you uninvite yourself, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
When Anher said that there's background check, it's not a full background check. We're basically just checking people against the sex offender registry. Meaning if you are a registered sex offender, you are not welcome in the space, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. There's no excuse. There's no, oh, we're going to give you some slides. So I don't want to scare anybody off when we say that is a background check. We're just checking you against the sex offender registry.
So I could have a DUI and I'm good. But I got some drug charges. I'm all right.
You don't have. Yeah.
Bell, is this what he thinks about when he's like, I'm a thug?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Can I? All right, can I say, we don't care about your DUI. We care about how you treat each other in the space. We're not worried about the number of dicks, because I'm not worried about who you're playing with, or like, we really strive to be an inclusive space, and the crucible can look very different night to night. But I am presenting, and I top women there. There are male presenting people who top other male presenting people there. There, so we're not worried about ratios in the same way of like who is attracted to who, who's gonna fuck who. we're much more interested in the vibes. There are times that we come and don't play at all. We're just really fellowshipping and fostering and growing this community and the understanding and asking questions and teaching each other things. So there's not the added pressure, that same pressure you don't feel to be a certain type of person to play. You don't feel to know like, oh, is it going to be a sausage fest or what? Because there's no guarantee you're going to do anything there except for add to the vibe of the community, perhaps learn and grow, perhaps meet some people. There's no stress or pressure to perform in that moment and that night, which means that there's also no guarantee. So no one's coming like, I am going to achieve X, Y, and Z tonight. I might just be going to chill with some people that I'm cool with. I might see some things, I might do some things, but there's less incentive for someone to come that thinks that they're going to get the dick sucked or whatever, which also great. But it's more than likely you're coming with an open mind and going to see some things, maybe learn some things, and maybe experience some things that you haven't before that really have nothing to do with the number of dicks that are in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that. One of the things that is pretty consistent with swinger spaces is the heteronormative aspect of the swinger lifestyle. And the welcoming of bisexuality only on the part of women, even that sometimes I think is more performative than actual. But I wondered if you should talk a little bit about the LGBTQ plus friendliness of the space that folks should know about in terms of your events.
The gay person runs to the front of the line. Okay. It's one of the beautiful things about our event in general that there is not an expectation for anyone to show up in any particular sexuality and how they express it. Like Jack mentioned earlier, we have demisexuals, asexuals there. We also have bisexuals, homosexuals, polysexuals, pansexuals, the entire spectrum across the board. Again, one of the reasons why this is such an open and wonderful thing is because sex, or what most people think of as sex specifically, is just like something involving the genitalia, is not always going to happen or take place in these spaces. So there is a lot more openness for people to be there regardless of their sexual orientation. For some people, BDSM has absolutely no crossover for sex at all. So it definitely lightens the space, lightens the ability for people to interact within the space. I've heard people say before, like they are heterosexual, but they will play with anyone. So there's even within those that aspect of it, there is not this automatic assumption of cis heteronormativity in these spaces. Also, I want to say very specifically that having those of us here on this board who are not cisgender, who are not heterosexual, helps us to keep in mind the type of space that we are trying to create that would, if we were not a part of the board, still want to come to. Everybody isn't like myself, and I'm just speaking specifically for myself, who will occasionally bust through the door and be like, I'm going to show up. I got my strap on. I ain't going to do shit with it, but I'm just going to make you uncomfortable. Everybody isn't specifically like that. So making a space and an environment where folks do not have to do that is essentially important. And we cannot forget that because of so much of what we understand of the BDSM and kink culture sits on the back of what LGBTQ folks have been doing and pushing forward for decades. So to have spaces where it's just nothing, to have all of our spaces be nothing but cis heteronormativity is it's ridiculousness. It's ridiculousness and it does nothing for us. That is not to say that I have not been to events where, like you said, the only variance in sexual preference was with the very pretty women who were showing up with men. But I can say with a good amount of certainty that there is a wide, wide mix often at our events. Mm-hmm. Of sexual orientations and gender identities.
And for those in the room who aren't aware of what the difference between a demisexual and an asexual is, can you quickly explain that?
Asexuality is an umbrella term. So asexuality are those who either do not want to or have no sexual attraction to others who typically just do not have sexual attraction or feel sexual feelings for others, and it can go in a range of spectrum. So demisexual people only develop sexual feelings or sexual attraction to a person after they have already gained an amount of emotional connection to that person. And there's other terms and identities under that umbrella as well, but it's different from most of us who identify as allosexual, who will be identified as allosexual, which means we see someone and typically like we're in it to win it. Like, you're attractive, I'm attractive, less like bump uglies.
Got it. Oh, I appreciate that definition.
I don't want to say that we're a utopia and you come in and you see all representations every single time, but we definitely, I think, through our own representation and through the educating that we do at the space, we really do want to make sure that it's known and understood that no types of discrimination are allowed and acceptable here, and that people are welcome to come and be exactly who they are.
You've built this great community and it's continuing to grow. Like, what's the plan? What's the ultimate desired future for Black and Kinky DC?
This is on her. So it's twofold. And please, my team, jump in if I miss something. So first and foremost, what we talked about already, is creating a safe space for people of color within the BDSM and kink community. I'll speak for myself. When I first started getting involved and going to events, I didn't know anyone. I didn't see anyone who looked like me. I felt very ostracized. I didn't feel like I belonged. And I didn't really feel like I had a sense of connection to anyone who was doing BDSM or interested in different things. So it wasn't really until I came to B&K that first month where I really started connecting with people. It was like, oh, like, y'all are cool. Like, I really mess with you guys. And so that's what we want to bring every single time. You know, so we're all inclusive for everyone to come in and just be themselves and feel like they belong, feel like they connect to somebody. And that's what we want to try to bring in, regardless of their experience level, regardless of what they're into. We're open and we're accepting for who you want to be and what you want to experience. And I think the second thing that we really want to push is more diversity in the kink space. So not just when it comes to Black and Kinky events, but just things in general, where people can go out to a crucible any night and they see people of color who are participating in different events, where we have people of color participating in volunteer positions, where they're doing being dungeon miners or volunteering for different staff positions, where they're welcoming people to the door. We want to make sure that people are present, because regardless if they're coming to our events or not, we want to make sure that people of color are present within this space. And that's one of the things we really want to try to push this year, so people have the opportunity to kind of see things from a different perspective. Not just, oh, I go to an event and have a good time, but what goes on behind the event, what goes on when it comes to the safety and the different procedures when it comes to making sure it's a safe space for everybody, right? We want to be represented when it comes to making decisions, when it comes to our local dungeon and other spaces. So those are the things we want to try to bring to the table when it comes to what Black and Kinky wants to see down the line.
Hey, Anher, you mentioned dungeon monitors. Will you say more about what a dungeon monitor is and the fact that we have them at our events?
So essentially, you know, what one thing we talked about earlier was making sure that one is practicing safe scenes. Make sure that there's consent that is being happening and not someone who's taking advantage of someone else. And so dungeon monitors pretty much are like the lifeguards of the play space. So they kind of sit and observe, make sure everyone's playing safe, make sure everyone's doing what they're supposed to do, and make sure that if there are any concerns or any questions, that they're available to help wherever needed.
I appreciate that. The dungeon monitor was probably the other thing I was impressed at seeing at the event. And I'm not shitting on any lifestyle parties I've been to. I'm just saying that I've been to a few where there is security, but that same security has been found jacking off in a corner in the playroom. And so the importance of security can't be overstated, especially in a BDSM space. And the dungeon monitors were quite on point. They had their uniforms like they were like bright neon yellow. You could find them anywhere. It just seemed like a space that was very secure, regardless of what kind of crazy antics people were interested in engaging in. So we really appreciated seeing that. And anybody who's interested in going to B&K's events should look forward to that. What do you all have coming up?
So we just finished our February event. It was really dope and awesome. The theme was Black Magic, of course, for February to celebrate Black History Month. And we are actually in the works to put together an awesome theme and an awesome class for our next event coming up on Friday, March 17th. So you can lock that in your calendar. It's going to be really great. All of us are actually going to be there the same, but it's going to be, we're going to have another class, which is going to be great. And that information will be going out soon. So you can check our Instagram, our FetLife group. You can check out whatever else we have. A group now, which is up and running, which is really great. Come and join us. All of our social medias, you can actually check that for information about big things in relation to that March 17th event.
You can find us using Black and Kinky DC. If you search the different platforms, we'll be the first ones that pop up.
I enjoyed this conversation. Our listeners who are in the DMV area, check out Black and Kinky DC. And you might see us there too.
I don't know why you say that and then be surprised when people come and see us there. Like, how did they know we were gonna be here? Nigga, you said it.
I don't know if you remember what I'd be saying to the show. Well, thank you guys for joining. I really, really, really appreciate you.
Thank you for having us on this platform.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity.
I like to talk, so thank you.
All right, y'all. I hope y'all enjoyed that interview. As always, you will be able to find information on all of our guests in our show notes. Check them out, follow them, message them, email them, connect with them, find out where their next event is happening. Peace.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please do check us out on Twitter and Instagram at Black and Kinky. You can also find us under the same name on Cassidy, APG, Amore Getaways, and Patreon. Check us out on Facebook and YouTube under Black and Kinky Lifestyle. Feel free to email us at black, the letter N, kinky, lifestyle@gmail.com. Bye.
Black and Kinky Lifestyle.